So I will reward those of you who were on time by going ahead and starting on time. First of all, I want to say thank you all for coming. And needless to say, this is a pretty potent time in our existence. And I was prompted to do this session. And given the fact that I'm seeing, so many of those of you who signed up, here and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, as it were, hopefully you will find this to be an interesting and even potentially useful, if not calming exercise. So, a few things about the logistics for tonight. Susan Flo is assisting me. I am keeping track of a transcript feature that Zoom has. And I said a little earlier something that it turns out that I'm noticing I was mistaken about. And that is the transcript does capture your name when you speak. But Susan is also going to, has agreed or offered kindly to edit this. So when she does, she will go through and just reduce it down to your first name. And so it should be ready by about the middle of next week sometime. And before I further delve into, talking about the specifics of tonight and so forth, I just want to acknowledge that for no matter how any of you voted, there is material here for both sides of the political aisle. And in addition to that, there is, I want to acknowledge something that they told me to really focus on. And that is, while there is a lot of information that could be shared, and their opinion, which of course is comes through me, the vessel, so therefore influenced or tainted or biased or what have you by me. But nonetheless, they want to remind you that as you are alive, you are loved, and you'll move forward. But acknowledging also that there might be a little bit of heaviness or leeriness, I asked them if I could start off tonight by sharing a little bit of humor with you. So I have a joke to open tonight's festivities, as it were. And it has to do with three pets that passed over and went to heaven. And God met them at the pearly gates. And of course, God said, "Welcome, welcome." And noticed that there was a German Shepherd, a corgi, little dog corgi, and a kitty cat. And so God, in God's fashion, of course, said to the German Shepherd, "So tell me, what do you believe?" And the German Shepherd stood up straight and said, "I believe in loyalty and determination, friendship, and protecting my family." And God said, that's very good. And then gestured to his right and patted on a seat and said, "Please take a seat over here." The German Shepherd went up. And then God turned to the corgi and said, "Tell me, what do you believe?" And the corgi sat up and smiled and said, "I believe in love and pets and hugs and making people happy." And God smiled and said, "That's good." And turned to his left and patted on a seat to the left and said, "Come right up here." And the corgi did. And then, of course, God, the last, turned to the cat and said, "So, what do you believe?" And the cat looked at God square in the face and said, "I believe you're in my seat."
My chair.
So, in any case, we just want to acknowledge
That's like our cat.
that they how cats have really healthy self-esteem, and that is something that, in addition to all the other lessons that we might be having, to remember that self-esteem and remembering one's place in the universe is useful, because even if we're sitting in God's seat, it doesn't necessarily mean we're God. So, all right, everyone. So some more logistics about tonight is, as is my fashion, as many of you know, I do use a slideshow. I will endeavor to use slides in an appropriate way. If there are slides that are too text heavy, I will just skip them and just continue to speak. The way that we'll be doing tonight is Michael will be sharing their information. They'll be telling you how they're going to structure their information. And then there will be a period for question and answer. Now, during the question and answer period, I would like it if, and it would be helpful to me, that you use the React button at the bottom of the at the bottom of your control panel, and there is a command that says a raise hand gestures, and there, for instance, Catherine has raised her hand, and I'm wondering, Catherine, do you actually have a question at the outset? Or were you just demonstrating for me? All right, I'll presume you're demonstrating for me. As some of you can see, there are about 25 of us here so far. So I cannot necessarily see all of you when you raise your hands at the screen and so forth. But I will when you use the gestures. And on occasion, as humorous as this may sound, because it'll be crossing from the mental plane to the physical plane, if you might prompt the channel to say, would you please save the transcript? I have a button here that I apparently, as the host, have to physically save it every once in a while. So a little prompt helps bring me back into the space. Okay. All right, everyone. Well, again, welcome. And so I'm going to share the screen and start off with the first bit of information for tonight. All right. So some of what we really wanted to concentrate on doing was using a number of the characteristic methods of trying to demonstrate what we are hoping to convey. And setting context is an important thing for this talk or for any presentation that we or anyone else does, because it helps to give your intellectual center a frame of reference. So we wanted to start with the title. And we chose the phrase, the road well trodden. And many of you know Robert Frost, the famous poet's poem, The Road Not Taken. M. Scott Peck made a reference to that by a very famous book, in the mid-1980s called The Road Less Traveled. But what this reference really is talking about is that we were alluding to the fact that the American electorate helped to trigger going back to a lot of tried and familiar ways of looking at life, like a road that is well traveled, well trodden. Now, this title prompted a question from Janaea, who many of you know often comes to these. Tonight she is not going to be with us. But we thought it was essential to mention it at the outset as part of the process of setting context. Because setting context is one of the great failures of communication that both sides did. And as a result, it worked for approximately 51% of the electorate and didn't for 49%. So what is that question? And it was that in the description, we talked about how the United States, how the American electorate turned politically backward. And she asked, did that mean that reelecting Trump means that the country is going backward? or that it's a backward step in human consciousness in general. And some of you know that in our terminology, we use the concept of this evolutionary step from young soul to mature soul age. Well, our answer to her was, and it's implied in the graphic that you see off to the right there, and that is how we responded, is that you are going to continue down the path toward the mature soul evolution, but your consciousness, collective consciousness, is going to be turned around backwards. It's going to be looking at the past. It's going to be looking at and seeing and referencing a lot of the familiar kinds of beliefs and ways of doing things, and paradigms, for those of you who know that term, to orient itself towards, even as it is actually moving again along the mature soul era. And that's significant because we want you to reiterate, evolution never goes backward. It cannot. It is always forward motion in time. However, that does not mean it is always what you would consider advancement or improvement or progress as you would see it. So we wanted to clarify that, because when we give you the way we're presenting tonight, to put it into an intellectual frame of reference, remember that we are from the mental plane, and therefore the higher intellectual center, and therefore the intellectual center, using language is extremely important to us, because they are the carrier waves of the vibration of meaning. And they offer you, through us, our intended way of expanding your consciousness to get a larger vista about what is happening and will be happening. So you notice in the top two blue segments, we use two words, one of which you're probably familiar with, the idea of sociology, which is talking about the study of groups and collectives in their interactions. And the way we mean it, of course, in worldly dynamics, which would mean politics, economics, and the material world. And then over on the left, you see a word that we invented, that we have used through Stephen, to talk about the metaphysical overview of things. And we call it soulciology. Now, yes, some of you smile and say, what a cute little play on words, Michael, and so forth. But nonetheless, we mean it quite significantly, because when you understand that the physical plane is about the interaction of personalities, all of you in bodies, but sociology is talking about, if you will, the metaphysical collective backdrop and the influences it does, but also does not have here once you are embodied. So you can see some of the things under each of them. Now, these slides will be available to you as part of the download from this presentation. And you can go through and study these and the statements we have on there, but we'll paraphrase. First of all, in the American election, what dominated was the paradigmatic view that we would call six-level Jung. Very much acquisitional, very much about dominance hierarchy, very much about acquisition of power through material things. Okay. And the collective attitude in the real world is everyone for themselves. So, why that's significant is because even though the world has entered into the mature soul era, it has repercussions. Again, when looking backwards, people are looking for the stability and the history and the and those beliefs that they thought, you know, saw them through, and they went for it. So with that, we're going to skip on to the next slide to help you by making this statement. Human fear and emotion is at an all-time influencing high of collective Maya. And many of you who are not even Michael students still probably know the word Maya, that Hindu notion of illusion. But illusion that is so prevalent, it literally creates the fabric of perception on the physical plane. So we want to infuse something here for you. And that is what this sign says. Not everything will be okay according to your likes, dictates, and hopes. We grant you that. But some things will. Some things will surprise you, and we will talk about some of those tonight. And undoubtedly, when you question us tonight, you will hear some things that may surprise you, and we hope do. But this slide is the one that we offer to all of you to understand where, if you will, if we wanted to put this in political terms, you know, many of you were who are the progressives. We don't like really the terms left and right or liberal and conservative. We say those of you who are forward-looking and hopeful towards a more expansionary course, for, in a way, even forgot to really account for the fact that there was another portion of the population that was as equally full as you were. And by fullness, we're talking about, as you can see in this diagram, you know, and the, by the way, these six, you know, energy labels that we have there, emotion labels, anger, shame, grief, sadness, pain, and fear, you see a representation of a male and a representation of a female. We want you to know that all of you, regardless of your actual physical gender, could have any of these emotions and many more, including what some of you are feeling since the election, which is resignation, or hopelessness, or uncertainty. It's when these fill up your auric field, and the Maya, your personal Maya, is, for want of a better term, overwhelmed by these, but it can feel like contamination, then your willingness, let alone ability, to connect with other people is really stifled. And what we hope for you tonight is that to understand that if there, that whatever healing, yours, theirs, both of yours, is to deflate these bubbles that you see depicted here in this graphic. And that is your own individual work, which many of you actually will have a chance to deal with. Now, we want to thank May Stone, who we believe is the one who provided us this graphic, because we think it's very illustrative of, you know, being in your classroom of the physical plane, and you see there that the universe, you know, is knocking on the door, and yes, of ego, actually. Because ego is still part of your personality. It's the part that tries to deal with coping with this place. It's not bad, wrong. It's just doing its best. And you see the message it delivered, and you see how angry that ego can be, because it feels really, really disappointed. And when many of you get disappointed, you know, you get bitter, resentful, angry, and so forth. Well, we ask you to begin to stop getting bitter, resentful, and angry at the universe for doing what it does. And that is, it has its own course of action. Is it easy? No. Is it simple? No. Is it fun? Not often. Because remember, and where you need to have compassion, not just for your own ego, but for all egos, is ego hates uncertainty. And the reason it does, ladies and gentlemen, is uncertainty makes you all feel unsafe. Now, in the presence of all of that, evolution happens, whether you can predict it or shape it or not. And here's one of the major takeaways we hope that you have for tonight. And this, we want to comment particularly about those of you who are positive thinkers. And that is, positive thinking is all very well and good. But when you begin to use positive thinking to try and shove away or deny or pretend those things that scare you, instead of face them, trying to be honest with them and neutralize them, then this is essentially what you're doing, what the sign says. And that, you know, you're hearing God's voice, but it's your words that you're wanting him or it to say. And that is a part of ego trying to control Tao, trying to control essence. in a way that hinders you, and it will hinder other people as well. Another piece, again, a thank you to May Stone on this one, or May Gustafson on this one. And that is, this humorous little graphic illustrates something that we want to really help you to understand. Even within the metaphysics of our teaching, we talk about parallel lives, parallel realities, and so forth. And there's a humor there of that many of you can see that it says, you know, I want to get to the bottom of, you know, which one of my parallels is screwing me over, or as it says up here, responsible for the fuckery that's bleeding into my timeline. And what we want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is that can be a strategy of what we just mentioned, denial, avoidance, and so forth. We want you to understand you are in this timeline. If you are listening to this talk, if you are petting your kitties in your laps right now, if you are on Zoom with us, you are in this timeline. You are not going to spin off into something else. And we offer you that in an effort to help you to get comfortable with it. Because essences don't save you from anything. And we offer you this in this graphic because if you understand that personality has agency, you can make choices, even if the options feel lousy, that you can do your best to still say, you know what, I, the part of I or you that is functioning here amongst whatever few options you may have, and you also have the creative ability to create some and make some happen by changing your mind. Now, when we look at this particular graphic and you see this one where you see this smaller bottle of religion and this kind of scowling fellow, and then this larger container of spirituality and this person who looks somewhat more serene, and then outside the bottle is consciousness itself. And what we want you to understand with that is that the collective of all consciousness is the Tao, and all of you together make it up. And that is why in this particular election, what you saw was the combined collective, albeit a very close one, tilt in the direction of that 51%. But where we want to encourage you to pay attention to spirituality and religion inside of yourself first, not just out there projecting it out onto other people. But that in true spirituality, there is an inherent humility that says you have an acknowledgement that there are forces larger than you, i.e. consciousness, the Tao itself, even essence, if you will, as your little smidge of the Tao operates in a bigger way than you can truly, really, fully know. Intuition can give you glimmers into, you know, insight, and listening to yourself can help direct that. But when people begin to try and separate out all the possible consequences or try to predict them, then what happens is that they fall under religiosity. And we're not talking about any specific one religious belief system, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, anything, but rather understand that religions are pre-governed narratives that people often fall into looking for some guidance, but also they often are looking for permission to act out some of their nastiest crap. And in communication, there has to be a willingness to really own that within the self and the courage to name that when you're with another person who may be spouting, just saying, is that what you really believe? And what does that give you permission to do? Because if you just ask the question, it will put them at the moment where you've actually made a really powerful vulnerable connection, and you've left the ball in their court, and it gives them an opportunity to face themselves. Even if they don't take it, the question has been posed, and a little bit of that Maya, a little bit about what we call juice, which is the emotional intensity, can be vented, and maybe little shifts happen. Because you're in this for the next 25 years, of those of you who came to our last presentation, know. We said that, you know, after the December 21st end of the 10-year Nexus period, the trajectory of how things have formed up will be the trajectory of what all of you will be dealing with as a background milieu. And in that background milieu, then we borrow the appropriately and amazingly the scholar Alvin Toffler, who wrote, you know, a preeminent book in 1970 called Future Shock. And here it is, 54 years later, almost 55, where he, you know, in revisiting this, he said the illiterate of the 21st century will not be those who cannot read and write, but those who cannot learn or unlearn and relearn. We offer that to you as a very profound statement of to contextualize all of what you see in this next 25 years, is challenge yourself to see where you are unwilling to learn anew, but also where your ego is so clingingly holding on to the certainty of something you believe you know. And we're not talking about learning, quote, lies, and we're not talking about new delusions or adopting new, you know, openings that show you don't have any principles. We mean expanding your horizon beyond what you think you know. Would you see,
Stephen? Please save the transcript.
Thank you. And so I'm going to stop the share for a moment and go to the transcript, and then go back to. The transcript. Okay, very good. We're sure. There we go. So let's try and look at this from a conceptual frame of reference that we hope, again, expands the context beyond the personal feelings of hopelessness or resentment or fear that you failed, or anger at the other side that they prevailed because of their stupidity, or whatever, you know, crunching judgment of angst that you would throw at them. And let's try and put this transition from the young to mature soul paradigm into perspective. Now, we will tell you that this election was one of many pivotal steps in this human evolutionary journey. And this one just happened to take a step backward, okay? Or turned around, as we said earlier, and is walking backward. But this is what a transition like this looks like. And there's a few statements we need to make about it. As you see here, we have utilized the concept of cell division from biology, and this is mitosis. And you see that when the two mindsets pull apart, you literally see that the young and baby soul mindsets are pulling toward the past. You've heard, many of you have heard us call that the dominance aggression competition model or paradigm. But what you are entering, and most of you who are mature and old souls, who want to see more of what you experience of cooperation and love in the world, even though, by the way, folks, they think they're seeking that too. But your methodology is looking to do it with entirely new strategies and hopes and desires. We call that the conscious awareness cooperation model or paradigm. So, yes, this constant pulling apart, this constant tension of breaking apart is something that is going to happen over. It has been happening, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, ever since really the middle of the 20th century, with the Depression, the Second World War, many of the Great Society programs, and then took a backward turn, if you will, you know, during the Reagan era. Some of it tried to emerge again with the New Age, et cetera, et cetera. And there was this constant tugging back and forth. So it is happening. What we want you to understand is this is in great flux. And what we've said before still stands, is that you as mature and old souls are actually creating this new paradigm as best and as much as you can. So we are offering you encouragement and knowledge to understand that love and light is the direction you want to go, but it doesn't mean that you have to capitulate or pretend or feel friendly, but you do need to be careful of that auric field like we showed you in the earlier slide, filling it up with emotions that you may not be necessarily acknowledging. You must keep those emotions in front of you. You must keep working to reduce those and to even vent them at times in as useful a way as you can. So we're giving you permission to be human here and then keep the conversation going. Now, what happened? Another way of illustrating this point that this particular graphic indicates, and you see it, shedding a light from two different perspectives, both perspectives have a true reflection. They cast, if you will, a shadow. And both of them are true to the perceiver from that, that angle. So you see the 49% in this country that saw it one way, and the 51% that saw it another. And these are in crunch. And for right now, many of you perceive that the 51 is going to create the physical plane circumstances that will make a lot of your 49% truth, that mature soul consciousness, more difficult to attain. And we would say that will be true, but it will not close it off. It will not shut it down. So now to get into the specifics, what are the main takeaways that this election actually did in terms of the physical plane and shaping your society? Well, one of the things is that it really did fragment the electorate. And in doing that, of course, a fragmented electorate really has decreased power to resist. And what did that? Who did that? And the answer is that young soul, you know, epitome, high point of what is commonly called in political and economic terms, oligarchy, that 1% that you're familiar with, okay? It's that group is the epitome of that young soul's manifestation, and they have won this round. And what it has done as a collective to Americans is that in all of your institutions and everything, it definitely has helped to reduce the effectiveness and the ripple effect, or call it the you know, America standing as the hallmark of democracy in action. It has reduced that credibility tremendously. And then what it is, unfortunately, we think, increased is that it has given permission for totalitarianism around the globe. Now, there are many of you who are going to resist that and fight that. And we say that is exactly what needs to happen. But we will tell you as we go on here some ways that you can do that, that will actually help you both personally as well as the planet, even while this, you know, shift in energy is happening. Now, one of the things in this election that we hope many of you got awakened to is the, and we mentioned this earlier, and that is positivity, as you call it, positive thinking, as you call it, can be a rather narrow and even pretentious kind of an energy when it narrows your genuine expression of all that's going on. And unfortunately, a lot of the folks in that 51% saw Kamala Harris and all the Democrats smiling and laughing and using trite little words like, oh, they're weird and all that kind of stuff. And they took it as personal insults that you were laughing at them. And that's why when Donald Trump got up in that garbage truck and went into McDonald's to do those fries just 3 weeks before the election, that was the change of energy that shifted a parallel. We're going to caveat here a moment and let you know that even though in the end of September, we were reading most of the parallels and they were leading toward Kamala Harris, it was at that juncture where a whole lot of persons who were still on the fence shifted approximately 2 weeks before the election, 2.5 weeks before the election. And that is a really important understanding. Progressive and having a vision for the future does not mean positivity in the sense of being what looks like trite or not acting seriously in the presence of someone's serious concerns. So what had happened is you notice that people resorted to, and yes, it reaffirmed a lot of the things like their native prejudices, even though they don't necessarily see their sexism, their racial bigotries, or their macho tendencies. But what it did do is on both sides of the equation, it has increased the fear behind the Maya in the world. And what that boils down to in real terms is this last statement, and that it really threw a wrench and really increased the amount of distrust, meaning it disrupted trust on many levels. And here are the four that we have really wanted you to come to terms with, because many of you know, you've said it to yourself. How many of you don't trust the other side because of this polarity? In this next 25 years, finding ways to build common bridges, not in your politics, but in your humanity to each other. Because that'll help soften and help move the energy. Many of you have heard us call it vibration, which is not necessarily solid ideas, but is moving to diminish that fear state. The next part is many of you who are here tonight, we realize, are of what would be called that 49%. And many of you felt shaken in your own abilities to trust yourself, especially those of you who were quite, for want of a better term, and we don't mean this in a diminishing or hurtful way, but rather, we're very rah-rah. And, very mercurial in the sense of your certainty about, that the Democrats and Kamala and all that kind of positivity would win the day automatically, and you dismissed all these other things. So now many of you find yourself second guessing yourself, and you look at McCarran, Dewey mentioned it earlier about, I've said too much. And find yourself wanting to self-censor because you feel this uncertainty in the future. And we want to acknowledge that, not because we're saying that in some circumstances it is appropriate to not necessarily say everything, but it is not appropriate in every condition or every circumstance not to, to withhold for yourself or from yourself. Then we want to just emphasize that what the 51%, but also many of you felt in common, is that tendency under the young soul energy to separate, divide, and to emphasize individuality, but in the negative position or the negative expression of it, it is so individuated that you feel like, oh my God, I'm on my own. And that inevitable fallback, even to the basics of infant soul, concerns, like what's going to happen to me, come to the forefront. And we can't tell you enough how big that was in this election. Now, on a sociological level, one of the things that is happening across the world, and really you are seeing already right now in Mr. Trump's assignments in political nominations, and that's that last one. It is the creme de la creme, the putting the rotten cherry on top of creating the distrust of the function and good intentions of government institutions as a ploy. And we emphasize that word, as a ploy, to dupe the average citizen into allowing them to privatize them for profit. And that is how you lead to this term that many people threw about, but unfortunately didn't define at all well. And many people didn't even understand. That's how you invite fascism. That's how you invite totalitarianism. That's how you invite the person who usually leads that, which is called a dictatorship. So, saying this again, we want to just point to that it wasn't individual mature and old souls, and it wasn't just young baby and infant souls splitting along their soul ages. No, because unfortunately, folks, for many of you, dishearteningly, you know, and you knew them. Many of you knew them. Mature and old souls who embraced and continue to embrace that paradigm of, you know, the individual notion of status quo. They could put some new age arguments around it. They can put a few new age slogans around it, but still what they are looking to do is keep the status quo. Now, what ultimately the paradigm cure or the paradigm alteration pivot in all this is going to be is that humanity has to face this realization. You have entered the era in the 21st century where you can no longer hide from the fact of complexity. Religions throughout history have always drawn nice, simple, binary thinking, right, wrong, good, bad, true, false notions around things. But systems have become so complex. And also, when you fill a system full of exemptions, or exceptions, special circumstances, you make them complicated and simplicity really goes away. But the human mind craves that binary simplicity. So what happens is that your own understanding and your help to others is to start bridging the gap that complexity exists, even if you're introducing it in little ways to help educate and bring people up to up to date. Because without that, you're going to find that the stuckness feeling that you're feeling and the stuckness feeling that you're seeing in your electorate, you know, will continue for quite some time. So again, some of the real world, things that you saw that we really want to point out as, you know, sociologically, and then soul, you know, trying to help you understand the consciousness of the world, is that once again, the young soul notion that money is power, money is God, has been really enshrined. And that was, you know, managed to what swing this election. Elon Musk spending, you know, the estimated $150 million in various ways, helped greatly, and look at the amount of influence he's bought, as well as the fact that people in their worry about consumerism and their prices and that kind of individual specific sense of material stability took, you know, center stage in the majority over the principles. But here what we're doing again is, you know, you see us outlining, you know, the way that the world's consciousness is. Much of Europe is mostly mature soul, and Scandinavia even old soul, and they have governments that reflect it. But those populations are small and don't tip the scales forward yet. They represent examples that do. Russia has young soul leadership in Mr. Putin and his oligarchy. But there are many baby and mature souls in that country who both capitulate as well as, you know, are really afraid to do anything. And in China, you have a very young soul culture that is perpetuating actually a number of advancements in some elements of mature soul qualities, but it's all under a essentially capitalist dictatorship, as funny as that may sound to most of you. Then, of course, you have Australia, Canada, Mexico, but as mature, Africa's baby and mature. You have much of South America, Brazil, Argentina, Venezuela, Chile, and Peru as mature souls, but none of them, as you know from our soulciology, our metaphysical terminology, many of them are still not manifesting. In other words, they are still embracing the baby soul. What's, you know, quality of where do I fit in the hierarchy, and not wanting to disrupt the structure and the status quo. And that's there. So once again, you know, we show you this graphic reinforcing the idea that yes, money is going to be really, you know, has been put out there at the forefront. And this is some of the things that you as individuals, you in your court system, you in the way you live, will have to face. You know, that imbalance is there. And unfortunately, down there in the lower corner, you can see us making a point with that gavel, that legal court gavel with the dollar sign in it. And yes, legalism in the next 25 years will be the main way that you see financial advantage exercising, you know, unequal justice for some. And yes, many of you will see that when Mr. Trump gets his own convictions removed and erased. Anyway, we think we'll skip this. You can see it when you get through the last few slides that we want to talk about here. We think is really important because we know that many a mature and old soul, female person in a woman's body, those many of you are either equal masculine and feminine energy, or in fact even more masculine energy, but you identify as female. You see, what happened in this election and in those young and baby soul embrace, you got a reassertion of patriarchy. And this was a brilliant statement that old soul server Ashley Judd, who is a political activist and actress, said, and it's an excellent definition. And she said, patriarchy is not men alone. It is not. Patriarchy is a system in which both men and women participate. And its principles, inter alia means in kind of in practice or in general, are the interests of boys and men and the body integrity, autonomy, and dignity of girl, you know, over girls and women, right? And that means economically as well. But what she also said in the second half is really important because you saw it reflected in the election results. And it is a subtle, insidious, and never more dangerous that when women, especially young and baby soul women, participate in the patriarchy, and how she put it was passionately deny that they themselves are gaining value in it. And we just want to offer that one of the most high-profile women that is doing this right now is once again the first lady again, Melania Trump, a woman who is about to show you how to participate as a female, playing the part along with patriarchy and, you know, undermining her own sects in doing so, but personally garnering a lot. And here though, with that group was the group that needs the most understanding, ladies and gentlemen, because so many of these men, what we call the brokenhearted surplus male, yes, we put it in a way that hope brings you some compassion, even if a lot of these men ended up, you know, acting like jerks. Their intention and their native way of being was not that. They are the ones who feel left out, unwanted, unheard, and they are underskilled because of the way that the American educational system has really reduced this caste. And we use the word caste, C-A-S-T-E, in the way that sociologists means ranked social groupings. And that caste has been largely isolated and left behind. And they have been subject to underpaid jobs. And they're the ones who feel not just their self-esteem, but their very security as really in danger. And they're the ones who went for a macho man like Trump, because Trump gave them permission to scapegoat. He gave them swearing where there was no negative consequences from somebody claiming PC inappropriateness. And he said, go ahead and be a good consumer. That's what your right as a citizen is. And we coined a term that we wrote an article about 2 weeks before, and we call it that notion of the homo automaton, because ladies and gentlemen, many of you will see a large portion of not just the American citizenry, but a large portion of the world citizenry, in fact, falling under homo automaton. And you yourself need to be really aware of how you and when you fall into it. And what we want you to understand is the way that the homo automaton is being conditioned and you are participating has been through this overwhelming participation in the technological advance. Some of you, of course, say, but I need to in order to work and all the rest of these things. We beg you to really evaluate your use of all these things. Instead of these becoming your tools, the way that all these venues are working, they are conditioning you to be their tools. And we mean that you, as consciously aware people, or trying to be, need to account for this in yourself, so that when you see it in others, it is not just the projection of all your own disowned stuff. And this is one of the things that in this paradigm shift that we also invite you, even not only give you permission, but really warn you, is you see this graphic. What you have been trained to believe since the Reagan era, since the remaking of, you know, the turning around of the idea that individual liberty, individual freedom means the ability to consume, the ability to make money, be unencumbered by any kind of responsibilities, that you can just engorge yourself as you see fit. And then you use the ego defense. Well, I deserved it or I earned it. Please confront those in yourself, because the part that you contribute to that yourself in consumption is every bit just as much present as the other side. And when you confuse that consumerism is freedom, then you mistake that for citizenship. And that's what happened to the 51%, is they thought that their economic livelihoods and so forth really meant that their abilities to consume, whether it was eggs or gasoline or rent or what have you, meant their freedom was being impinged. Instead, their non-participation and non-understanding is what was impending their freedom. And the tool of manipulation, by the way, some of you know, That's a portrait of Niccolo Machiavelli. Some of you know Machiavelli. He was the young soul king who, in the 15th century, wrote a book called The Prince, who essentially gave the young soul the blueprint of how to really control a population. And what he said is, you just keep people feeling offended. You just keep them, you know, or go ahead and offend people and watch them get all bent out of shape, just like you all did by Donald Trump. And just like they did by, you know, when you all were PC, would offend them by calling them stupid or uneducated or weird. Folks, all of you are feeling traumatized. And what more than ever has to be healed or at least faced in yourself is how many shadow traumas you hide inside yourself. And then understand that if you can heal those wounds, then you can dull your own buttons so that you are not as easily offended. And when you're not as easily offended, then you will stay and you will engage these people who, yes, may not be as aware or enlightened or compassionate as you are, but you can get them and maybe help them acknowledge some of those wounds, those traumas, and what have you. Because here's one of the last things we want to say, folks, is, and you see this graphic, and you know, if you think you love freedom but you don't care if it applies to everyone, then what you actually love is privilege. And folks, that is what many of that 51% of people who believe in hierarchy really want to avoid. They just don't want to be at the bottom. So they need people. They need the women, the minorities, the trans, the whatever, the other, to be below them so they feel safe. Now, is it real or is it part of the Maya? It is not real in a great scheme of things. But is it real in the current political Maya of things? Yes, it is. And that's what's operating, and that's what has to be addressed. I think we'll skip this. Yes, save it. We're almost done. We're almost done, Susan. There's just a couple of more here we want to just get to. And that's this one. And then we're going to finish on this and we'll save it. You know, folks, many of you are in this group, of course, are Michael students. You've heard us use the term infinite souls. You know, we mourned the passing of one of the transcendental souls earlier this year, Alexei Navalny. And many of you now more than ever are really hoping for what you perceive the infinite soul to be. But we need to give you a bit of a reality check to help you understand that you are as much your own savior and your own infinite soul yourself. It's because infinite souls are here to advise, they're here to inspire, but they are not here to save you, forgive you, redeem you, rescue you, absolve you, or transcend you through some kind of rapture. That is the baby and young soul, and even many mature souls, still notion in some way, shape, or form of, you know, what the Tao or God does for them according to their narrative of God. And you as old souls really need to embed this new belief and this new awareness that you are the agent of the Tao in your life. And you can use these energies when they appear to orient and focus on them like a compass to true north. But they don't do it for you. So with that, we stop our shares. We're going to give the rest of the hour over to you folks. There are other slides in there that you can go back and review that have other information. But now, thank you, Susan. We will save the transcript.